The reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verses 27 to 31 and 66 to 71. Jesus predicts Peter's denial. "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the others said the same. Peter disowns Jesus. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. "You also were with that Nazarene, Jesus," she said. But he denied it. "I don't know or understand what you are talking about," he said, and went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, "This fellow is one of them." Again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." He began to call down curses and swore to them, "I don't know this man you're talking about." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Jane. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray that in this word that's just been read out, we might be able to find something that we can relate to and that we can own for ourselves. And pray that you will inspire my words and open all our hearts and our ears to listen to you. Amen. So, this is the last of our series of looking at unlikely heroes of faith. And if I asked you for your favourite Bible character, maybe it's one that we haven't actually looked at in this series, I wonder who it would be and why. I wonder, apart from Jesus, who it would be. Maybe it would be Mary. She was so humble, so obedient to the call of God. Or is it John? Isn't it lovely the way his gospel is written? "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Words that are so memorable. Or maybe it's one of the characters from the Old Testament that we've already looked at in this series, such as David. He had no trouble in destroying all that was clearly so evil. He's a real hero. In fact, it's often Peter who is given as a favourite Bible character when people are asked, because we find it so easy to associate with him. He shows that we don't have to get it right all the time for Jesus to love us and for us to be accepted. And if we look at the relationship between Peter and Jesus, we can see that there were so many times when he was caught letting his emotions rule his actions, or speaking out before he really thought something through, or letting Jesus down. And yet, it was Peter that Jesus promised would play a key role in starting the church. The very first interaction between Jesus and Peter shows us something of Peter's character. Jesus walks by the Sea of Galilee, and sees Peter fishing in a boat with his brother. And when he makes the offer to those brothers, saying, "Follow me," it's like something very special is sparked in their hearts, because they immediately follow their nets, leave their nets and follow him. And then sometimes it's that same immediate reaction, which Peter is prone to, that often leads to mistakes being made and ends up with him letting Jesus down many times. Thinking of some of those, it was Peter who was the disciple that wanted to get out of the boat and walk on the water with Jesus. But when he became frightened and doubted, he began to sink, and Jesus questioned why he had so little faith. It was Peter who talked about building three shelters for Jesus, Elijah, and Moses when he saw their images together at the top of a mountain. It was Peter's fear, again, that was speaking then, and he had to be silenced by a voice saying, "Listen to my son," and then Jesus saying not to speak of it anymore. And it was Peter who was the first disciple to voice his recognition of who Jesus as the Son of the living God was. As Zully reminded us in the prayers, it was he who confessed Jesus was the Christ. But at that moment, just after he made that confession, he couldn't see how the suffering and rejection that Jesus predicted would come soon after fitted with that identity. And Jesus had to tell him off for setting his mind on human concerns rather than those of God. So Peter often spoke before he thought, and his words often led to embarrassment. Peter knew great fear and doubt, things that Jesus specifically told his disciples not to allow into their lives if they were following him. Fear simply drove out love, and doubt led to hesitation and following the wrong path. So Jesus' request to follow him is acted upon by Peter, but on many occasions, when he follows, he ends up letting Jesus down as a result of his fear and doubt. And failure is a key part of Peter's story. And so we come to the time when this passage is set. It's just before Jesus' trial and crucifixion. Jesus had faced challenges before, but none as big as this. It's when you're really up against it that you really need your friends. Think about those times of great testing. In battles, there's normally a whole army fighting. When giving an important presentation, it's often easier to do this as a group. And at a wedding, such as John and Joe and Tom's yesterday, both the bride and the groom are traditionally supported by key friends or relations who are the bridesmaids, the best man and the ushers. Jesus knows that what's coming up for him is going to be a really big challenge. He also knows that none of the disciples will be able to stand beside him to help him through it. So at the very start, he tells his disciples that they'd all fall away. There it is in verse 29. Having been told this, Peter is the first of the disciples to follow what his emotions tell him. And he says, "Even if all fall away, I will not." You can just imagine it. Peter says he wouldn't leave Jesus' side. And then the others all say the same. It's a real me too moment. No one wants to own up to being a bit of a coward. They all go along with the crowd and make that promise to continue following Jesus. So they then leave that room and go to the outskirts of the city where Jesus prays. And after he'd prayed, a crowd came from the chief priests. Jesus was arrested and he was taken away to be questioned. And during that trial, there were a number of false witnesses brought forward whose testimonies didn't agree. But they had no one there who spoke up for Jesus. It was all rather one-sided. In trials today, in the courtroom, the defendant will often have somebody to represent them. And you often hear of a character reference being given by friends. So despite the disciples promising to stay with him, none of them managed to appear there before the chief priests and give a character reference. When Jesus needed his friends the most, they all abandoned him. The abandonment is made more painful by their good intentions and their promise to stick with him, given only hours earlier. But Peter, well, he'd tried, hadn't he? He'd followed at a distance when Jesus was taken away. Okay, instead of appearing before the chief priests, Peter had remained in that courtyard. But maybe that was as close as he could get. And it was here in the courtyard that Jesus' prediction that Peter would disown him three times before the cock crowed would come true. Let's look at what actually happened and what Peter said. In fact, they weren't all outright denials. The first time, in verse 68, Peter simply claims ignorance. He says, "I don't know or understand what it is you're talking about." The second time, it gets a bit more specific when Peter denies being one of Jesus' disciples. But this is a simple denial of being part of a particular community. It's not until the final verse, the final time in verse 71, that Peter makes it very clear he has nothing to do with Jesus when he says, "I don't know this man you're talking about." I don't know this man. There. After the questioning, Peter doesn't just claim to be one of a particular crowd. He actually says that he doesn't know Jesus. Jesus, the man he'd promised to follow when he first met him, and the man he'd recognized to be the Son of the living God, the Christ, only a few weeks earlier. Here was his fear and his doubt entering his mind again. Fear that by admitting to being one of Jesus' disciples, he might also be arrested and put on trial. And doubt. Maybe he was beginning to think that Jesus wasn't the Son of God after all. You can just imagine Peter's feeling when the cock crowed and he was reminded he'd promised not to fall away. It's that empty feeling in your stomach when you know that you've just made a really big mistake, when you've messed up big time and you just want the ground to swallow you up. Peter had said one thing, but he'd done another. He'd let Jesus down. He'd allowed that fear and that doubt to enter his mind and take over again. Once Jesus had risen from the dead, Peter was probably dreading. He was dreading that time when Jesus might remind him of his triple denial of that night. He was probably really scared that Jesus would be mad at him, that he'd make it very plain that disowning him wasn't acceptable. It wasn't until Jesus had already appeared to his disciples again a number of times that he brought it up. In fact, Jesus never really brought it up at all. No, despite Peter disowning him, all Jesus asks of Peter one morning on a beach in Galilee is, "Do you love me?" That question must have been such a relief to Peter. Jesus recognized that Peter didn't need to revisit that courtyard scene and experience the shame of disowning the friend that he loved so much. Jesus washed all that shame and bewilderment away with his question about love that was so easy for Peter to answer with a resounding yes. And that positive affirmation that Peter was allowed to make helped him to reaffirm his purpose and regain a focus that he then put to the test when he became a bold spokesman for the church. The man who denied Jesus in front of three people preached to 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. Peter, the person who felt a failure, became a hero. But there was one aspect of Peter that was consistent throughout. One aspect that kept him going and made sure he appeared there in the courtyard at the time of Jesus' trial. He was a trier. When he was invited to walk on water, he got out of the boat and tried. When he saw the images of Elijah and Moses with Jesus at the top of the mountain, he was the one to try with a response. When he recognized Jesus as the Christ, he tried to give voice to what that opinion meant. And when Jesus was in real trouble and needed his friends near him, Peter had tried. He'd been there in the courtyard and he tried. And you know the really courageous thing about it? He'd told others about it. He didn't need to. No one else had got as far as the courtyard that night. And Jesus had never outright accused Peter of denying him, of disowning him. We might never have known this story if Peter hadn't told others about it. But Peter recognized his failings and did tell others about them, so that those others might learn something of the love and the forgiveness that's offered through Jesus. And that's the best bit, really. Peter might have denied Jesus and felt that he'd let him down, but he also turned back towards him and offered to try again. Despite feeling as though he'd never fit in with what Jesus had called him to, he still comes back. He allows Christ to take the shame away. History would have been very different if Peter had never made it to the upper room because he'd felt so despondent about his own failures. What if Peter had felt that his letting Jesus down had disqualified him from making a contribution because he'd made such a mess of things? What might have happened to Peter if he'd let that fear and doubt take over his life and he'd not been able to receive the love and the grace that forgave his treacherous words? Fear and doubt about Jesus can make us feel as though we're on the outside. You might look at all those people who were standing after, have you been here for 20 years or more? You might look at those people and think they're so very certain of themselves. They don't seem to have any questions, any doubts. That might well make you feel as though you're on the outside and that you might be overwhelmed by all that's wrong with you, how you've failed Christ. And yes, I'm sure some of those people that were still standing recognize that fear and that doubt. And in situations such as this, I find that it's so easy for all of my resolution to do better. It just becomes as dust. And I feel flushed with the shame of failure. Giving up would be so easy. But then, miraculously, Jesus comes and asks that question. Do you love me? And it's that question that makes me want to try and get up again. This story of Peter abandoning Jesus in his final hours as a result of his fear and doubt might have been repeated many times over in your own life. In a way, we're all like him, and that's why we can associate with him so well. We're all human, filled with human frailties, doubts, and fears. This story emphasizes that despite our own human weakness and sin, Jesus is eager to forgive us and restore our relationship with him. No matter how many times we might feel like we've let him down, he always asks that question, "Do you love me?" Yes, Peter did let Jesus down, and he failed to stick up for him. But he had tried, and that's what Jesus invites us to do, to try. And if we never even try, we will surely fail. At least if we try, we have a chance of success. Rather than criticizing Peter for his cowardice, for falling away, we should be amazed that he even got as far as he did. So now I invite you in a moment's silence to think about the times when you feel as though you've let Jesus down by failing in some way. But rather than being despondent about this, and feeling as though Jesus will never forgive you, I'd like you to imagine Jesus approaching you and asking you that question. Do you love me? Dear Lord Jesus, the answer to that question must be yes. And we thank you that you've always given that invitation of love and forgiveness to drive out our fear and our doubts. We pray that in the days ahead, you will come and ask that question, do you love me? And that will encourage us to keep on trying, no matter what has gone before. We pray that you will help us to do that, knowing that we have your love and your forgiveness. Amen.